Welcome to Business Beat. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. Over the last year or so, at least 20 states have introduced bills that would require labeling of genetically modified food. The common point of contention is the pervasiveness of grains that have had their DNA altered. But some of these proposed laws, including one in Missouri, take aim specifically at genetically engineered meat or fish. And that got Harvest Public Media's Abby Fentress-Swanson wondering, how close are we to actually eating genetically engineered animals? What she found out might surprise you.
Oh, here's a neat guy. This cell is wanting to become a neuron.
Kevin Wells is a scientist at the University of Missouri, Columbia, and is a leading national expert on genetic engineering in animals. In his clean, fluorescent-lit lab full of buzzing half-size incubators, Wells is looking through the microscope at a cluster of cells. These are from the tail of a pig.
So if you look in the dead center, you'll see a cell that looks like a star, sending its projections out to go make connections.
I'm getting a lesson in how genetically engineered, or GE, animals are made. Basically, by pulling apart segments of DNA and putting them back together in different orders. Science fiction this is not. Right here in central Missouri, Wells and other scientists are creating mice, pigs, and rats that will, say, be resistant to swine flu or produce their own nutrients. Wells has been on the GE front line for 24 years, including early work for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
When I was at USDA, we made cattle that were resistant to Staph aureus mastitis. It's not very often that you get to say you cured a disease. But because of the fear of public perception, those animals, no one's even attempted to take them to market.
Wells has even gotten death threats based on what might come out of his lab. Opponents argue there are too many risks and too many unknowns associated with GE animals. They've got questions about animal welfare, food safety, human health impacts, whether these animals could escape, spread diseases, and then there's a labeling issue. In Missouri, Senator Jamila Nasheed has introduced a bill that would require GE poultry and fish to be labeled as such. Here's Nasheed on the Senate floor.
I'm not saying that genetically modified foods are good or bad, but what I am saying is that the foods that are genetically modified by way of meats and fish should be labeled.
But isn't this all hypothetical? After my tour of the lab, I asked Wells, are there any genetically engineered animals on the market for human consumption?
The rumor mill suggests there is one genetically engineered tilapia that is available for consumption in Cuba. But no, there are none approved in Europe. There are none for human consumption. And there are none approved in the United States for consumption. There is a genetically engineered goat that has been approved for FDA to produce a pharmaceutical in its milk.
But the GE waters are churning when it comes to salmon. The Food and Drug Administration is right now considering whether to allow a genetically engineered Atlantic salmon on the U.S. market. Wells was one of three scientists selected to be on a committee that evaluated the so-called Aqua Advantage salmon for the FDA. The GE salmon feeds year-round, and therefore it grows faster.
So it reaches market weight in about a year and a half, as opposed to 3 years. And it does that on 80% of the feed.
The GE salmon eggs are now being produced in Canada and then shipped to a plant in Panama, where they are raised and processed. The FDA issued a preliminary ruling in December that the GE salmon is as safe as conventional Atlantic salmon and that there will be no harmful environmental impacts. Yet, the FDA has received thousands of comments opposing the GE salmon. The Center for Food Safety, a nonprofit advocacy group, has released a video opposing the salmon. Here's a clip featuring the group's director, Andrew Kimbrell.
So once we were to release a genetically engineered striped bass or Atlantic salmon into a river system like this, even by accident, that terrible arithmetic of extinction would begin. And within a few generations, they would become extinct, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Wells calls arguments like these silly, but he understands the fears.
There are risks associated with everything. Every time we eat anything, whether it's from a factory farm or it's from an organic producer down the street, there are risks associated with it. And this is new, so it's difficult for people.
The public has until April 26 to weigh in on the Aqua Advantage salmon, which brings us back to the labeling issue. Whether states mandate labels or not, the FDA says that if it approves the GE salmon, it will issue guidance on labeling for all genetically engineered animals for human consumption. There's just nothing else on the table yet. Abby Fentress-Swanson, Harvest Public Media.
If April 15th looms before you every spring as tax day, then you're probably not a farmer. Typically, most farmers must file and pay their taxes by March 1st. But this year's different, and as Harvest Public Media's Amy Mayer explains, when it comes to taxes, farming's often unique.
Roger McGowan runs the Center for Agricultural Law and Taxation at Iowa State University.
Farm tax, in many instances, is totally different from taxation with respect to non-farmers.
For example, farmers can average their income out over 4 years to reduce their tax burden. They typically don't pay quarterly estimated taxes, and they can defer crop insurance proceeds, which were a big part of income for many in 2012.
Farmers didn't necessarily have a great crop to harvest, but they harvested a huge amount of income last year. It was one of the biggest years, inflation-adjusted, since going back to the 1970s, and so it was a great income year. But the bulk of that was, for many people, crop insurance. There's a special rule with respect to crop insurance.
There are many special rules. McGowan says the manual for the farm tax schools he offers for tax lawyers and accountants runs 1,000 pages. With Congress only finalizing fiscal decisions at the start of January, the IRS pushed the farm tax deadline out to April 15th.
You got good shoes on, because we're going to go through some mud here.
From here at his farm's headquarters, Mark Kenny can see his childhood home and farm and the original farm his great-great-grandfather bought. Today, with his dad and brother-in-law, Kenny farms that land and more. A total of 3,000 acres in Story County, Iowa. He says farm finances may not be what attracts a person to farming, but they need constant attention.
When it comes time for taxes, it is a little bit complex, but it's part of the job. I mean, if you're involved in agriculture today, to any scale, you need fiscal tools.
Kenny doesn't shy from numbers. He has a master's degree in agricultural economics. The later tax deadline means he doesn't have to write a check as early as usual. But other than that, he says the impact's minimal because he still had to make most tax-related decisions before December 31st. Kenny says his return's ready.
All the filings that have my name on it, I think we're up to 110 pages right now. So it does get complex.
Farmers who are not turning a profit or who don't earn at least two-thirds of their income from farming always have till April 15th. Heading into the new season, the Agriculture Department predicts another record year for farmers in 2013. And that means more to report at tax time next year. I'm Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.
That's it for Business Beat. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.